Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
That was just Ty Segall, Imaginary Person, off the live at Death by Audio. Those boys will be coming up. It's off this compilation by Famous Class. It's on a Flexi record book I just put in my hands. It's amazing. If you've never seen a Flexi book, as I never have, it's a spiral book with a bunch of 7 inches in there. You just put the whole book on your record player and it plays. Yeah. Very exciting. They'll be coming up in the second half of the show. But we are very excited to have Chef. I'm sorry. I know you don't want to say Chef, but I have to
Thank you.
Jerry McMullen from the Bedford Post. And welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. How did you order the pizza at Roberta's?
Pizza here is always great.
So you work upstate.
Yeah.
But that's not where you got your start. Where did you first fall in love with cooking?
Well, I tell this story a lot. I came from a long line of very bad cooks. My mom's an awful cook. Aww. Love you, Mom.
Did she know that?
Yes, I tell her.
She self-admitted?
Yes, she
is. Or is she that home cook that doesn't know she's a bad cook and thinks she's a great cook? Which
at
is
this
the
point,
worst.
At this point, because she hasn't cooked for me in like 15 years, she's a mediocre cook, so she's improved greatly. Single mom, fast food, pizza, and when mom cooked, you went hungry kind of thing.
Wow.
But
do you remember one of her not so special specialties?
Yeah, actually, she sent me a recipe. The only thing I liked when I was a kid, mm-hmm. She made a broccoli and rice soup in a crock pot. Everything was in a crock pot.
Of course.
And she sent me the recipe, and I remember it being amazing. It's a block of Velveeta,
mm-hmm.
a thing of Uncle Ben's rice, pre-cooked. bag of frozen broccoli and cream of broccoli soup. You put it in there and you turn it on, and when it's hot, it's ready.
Is it like a dip?
No, it's... Well, I grew up with it being soup. Yeah, it's probably like spinach dip with broccoli.
I mean, that's not bad.
No, no, it's actually delicious.
I mean, that's like Super Bowl Sunday, yes. Creme de la creme.
Yes.
So you came from a long...
I fell in love with food at some point. I don't know why, because I'm a fat kid. But really, just as I got in college, I started cooking for myself. You know, TV chefs got really big, and I was infatuated with it. And so I started cooking back in my hometown in Scottsdale in Arizona.
How do you like Scottsdale?
I like it. I grew up there.
What's Arizonian cuisine like?
It's cowboy cooking.
So like Dutch oven, coals, things like that?
Yeah, cooking stuff over open fires, like open flames, a little more like gaucho style. There's obviously a huge Mexican influence, lots of spices and chilies. And I mean, I didn't grow up eating peanut butter and jelly. We grew up eating quesadillas.
Right.
So,
and has that style of cooking and those flavors come with you throughout your cooking career?
It has. And I think until probably the last 2 or 3 years, I didn't really realize that how much of an influence it had. But the way we cook in Bedford now, everything is over an open fire in a wood oven. It's very, very like cowboy-esque when it comes down to big cuts of meat that are smoked, you know, Argentine style, where you cut off a chop, sear it on the grill, and finish it with chimichurri.
Do you have chaps and like a big hat? Did you ever ride a horse?
Not that I would wear in public.
Not that you were.
I've ridden a horse maybe once. Yeah.
So you're cooking in Scottsdale.
Yeah.
Just for yourself?
No, I worked at a place called Zinc Bistro.
Okay, yeah.
Chef is Matt Carter.
Shout out.
He was a French Laundry alum. I just happened, literally walked by a place. I didn't know what the menu meant or said, so I assumed it was probably a good place to start learning. And he was dumb enough to hire me, and I worked there for 5.5 years.
What years were those?
Oh, God.
You have two.
2001 to 2006.
So no formal training?
No, zero.
That's great.
School of hard knocks.
Do you feel that it makes a difference anymore?
No, I think it does. I mean, I went to college, so I think college, no matter what you do, if you go to culinary school or art school or university, it's about that getting away from your family and getting out of your comfort zone and meeting people.
What'd you study?
To me, that was great, but I you know, after 8 years of college studying economics, I wasn't a doctor, and so I obviously wasn't very good at school, so...
Did you? Oh.
I was really good at college.
You're good at college.
Very good at school.
Oh, really good at college, yeah. Not great at school.
Yeah.
And so from Arizona, California?
Napa, yeah. Napa Valley, worked for a place called Red in Yonville for Richard Reddington.
That's great.
Great,
beautiful.
Great place. I mean, it's amazing. Yeah, absolutely.
It's really, you got to try really hard to cook a bad meal in Napa. I mean, a lot of people do, but you really, if you know how to, the basic ideas of cooking and how to shop, it's really tough to put something back.
No, I agree. You know, I cooked at the first place at Zinc. It was very French bistro-esque. So
yeah,
it was like 30, 40 pounds of butter a night kind of place. And then suddenly the mode changed to fresh ingredients and keeping things raw and a little bit of salt, a little bit of olive oil, which was a great lesson to learn. And the products are amazing. Something I still try to find now to this day.
The California products.
Quality. Not bringing stuff from California so much.
So what was the different attitudes in those two kitchens? What was the music that they played? The difference?
A lot of punk rock.
In Napa?
Both, yeah.
In both. Really?
Yeah, when I first...
Punk rock in the fine dining.
Yeah, I don't know, in the dining room, because I don't think...
Well, not the dining room, but in the kitchen.
In the kitchen, yeah. Yeah, much... You know what? Actually, Richard's pretty mellow, even though he's crazy.
Yeah.
I would describe his personality as being a little more punk rock. But he's more into, like, you know, Wilco and some calmer, mellower stuff.
What's your favorite music to cook to?
God, I I'm addicted lately to like 70s country.
It's good stuff.
It's great. It's like what I grew up on.
Cook your feelings, like, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So did you enjoy being out in California? I know
I
there's
loved
always
it. It's amazing.
The
yeah.
California versus New York. I you know what? I'm going to say it out there. I think it's apples and oranges.
I agree.
I think it's two different. I think it's two different approaches. I think it just, you know, the New York cities, like the big cities to really cook and survive in and things like that, is just such a different landscape. What you need to do versus California is that it's really tough to even compare them.
No, I don't think there's any comparison. I think the quality of life in both places is amazing, but it's so different at the same time. I mean, we live in the city. I love the city. I never thought I would. I thought I would hate it. I thought, you know what, if you're going to be a serious cook, you need to cook in New York, and that's why I moved out here. But when it comes down to it, I really I love New York, and it's really amazing. And nobody knows, like, you know, say Bedford. Bedford's feels like the middle of nowhere, but it's literally 40 miles from Manhattan.
I love Bedford. I mean, I really... when you get off the L train, it's just great. Same Bedford, right?
Little different Bedford.
Little different.
Little different Bedford.
I mean, you know, every once in a while you'll get a New York Times that fill in the blank upstate New York is the new Williamsburg.
And that is so untrue.
Yeah, it's so untrue.
Untrue, yeah.
You know, people always say in California that they love L.A. or they love that because they can be in wilderness so quickly. And my argument for New York is you can too.
Absolutely.
Within an hour, you can be at the beach. You can be upstate. There's gorgeous hiking. I saw it all in the subway while I was riding to work.
The smells.
Yeah.
The smells.
So are you a big nature guy?
Yeah. I mean, I love being outdoors. I mean, we live in Washington Heights because there's some parks around. It's a little quieter. So that's definitely appealing to me. And working in Bedford's that's the great thing about it. It's like, you know, I can still, we can go out, we can go hiking, we go foraging, we work with local farmers. It's still that very much that like Napa Valley vibe and feel to the relationships that you have and the style, the restaurant style, the quality of the products are all there. Just the weather is different. That's the only difference.
Well, I was just up in Narrowsburg. Ate at the Heron. Paul Nanny's place up there. And it's the same thing. He was a cook in the city. He was just like, I'm getting out.
Yeah.
I'm getting out.
There's a lot of people doing that. I mean, great stuff happening up in Hudson.
Do you feel there's a community up there? Or a growing community?
Sure. No. I think all the time there are new restaurants that are opening. And I think that the more exposed people become to great restaurants, the better it is for everyone. You know, you don't have to take the train into the city to have a great meal anymore. Doesn't mean that the restaurants in the city have changed. It's still the best food city in the world. It's not about that. It's just you don't have to if you don't want to. And we don't try to compete with those places anyway.
No.
It doesn't matter.
The competition, there's no point.
No. It's irrelevant.
So after California, what brought you to New York? Or you were like, I've done Arizona. Of course, this is Scottsdale, Napa Valley, New York.
You know, my goal, I think, because I had no idea what this business was about, was to work for 10 years, work 3 back home, work 3 in the Bay Area, and work 3 in New York. Timing didn't work out that way. I was in Arizona for 5.5 at Zinc and moved to Napa, and I was only there for a year before I got the opportunity to come to New York, and now I've been here for 6. So it's the timing wasn't right, but the ideas were there, and I couldn't be happier that I did it. But it was just more the draw. Like, New York's the food place to be. I mean, it's the place to be when it comes to anything. But I'm glad. It was something to take me out of my comfort zone, get me away from family and get exposed to something different. And I've been really pleasantly surprised that you can go to the beach and it's so close. And you can get outdoors. Like, I didn't even know what Central Park was about before I moved here.
It's hands down one of my favorite places to have at my fingertips. The whole, like, Museum Mile, walk down to Columbus Circle, it's just whenever I need some time just to refocus, it's amazing.
There's so many things going on. There's so many different people. I think the thing from an outside perspective you don't understand is that most people are from somewhere else, so they feel the same way you do. So it's that's the great thing. We all have this connection that we love it because we all love it together, not because it's this amazing spot that we all have to aspire to be. We're here.
Nothing brings together people like on a really cold February day,
sure,
when it's snowing and the train isn't running.
It's the bum on the one side of the subway. Everybody's cornered on the other side.
Oh,
it smells,
yeah,
like pigeon shit.
Oh, yeah.
That's really awesome.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break and we're going to talk about your time in New York and what you got coming up and how your grilling or love for grilling has followed you to the big grill you have at the Bedford Inn. that's just a good summer jam. There's no way around it. So we are talking with Chef Jeremy McMullen from the Bedford Post Inn. He's down here from Westchester. So talk to me. So we were talking a little bit about your move from the West Coast to New York.
Right.
And you're here in New York. And you started at, well, where did you start in New York?
Started at Bedford Post.
So you started. So that was the first one. Now, did you, you didn't just start driving around New York and like starting the outside and working your way in, right?
Correct.
I'm sure you had a contact there.
The original chef and I were friends, Brian, and he and I knew each other back in Arizona. So he invited me to come out and help him open the Post, which I did. I was there for about a year and a half, and then I moved in to the city to work for Missy Robbins at Avoce.
How was that? I mean, that's very different worlds.
Very, very different worlds. I mean, Missy's one of my mentors. There's Matt and Missy. Those are the two. So, it was amazing. It was full, you know, submersion into, Italian cooking, making pastas and things that I thought that I knew that I didn't know. And
how long did it take you to realize you didn't know?
She told me about 2 minutes into it. It wasn't hard to figure out.
Because
I told her, I was like, I know how to cook pasta. We make fresh pastas. We do all this. And she sat me down literally after the first night and said, you don't have any idea how to cook pasta. You realize that? And I was like, no, I do now.
So you didn't need her to tell her that after the first night?
No, I realized it. And she told me to. She's very open.
How does that feel?
This business is about challenges. It's about solving problems and challenges. So if I was a guy that would tuck my tail and run from something like that, I wouldn't be cooking. It's just not worth it. So to me, that was it. Like, I want to do Italian food because I don't know what any of it is. I don't know what it means, and I don't know how to do it.
And now
it's part of, you know, like my soul of cooking. I mean, that's what I do.
What's your favorite pasta to make?
Cappellacci del Brigante. It looks like a witch's hat. It's actually shaped like a hat from a small little region in Emilia-Romagna. But it's the trick of it is the fold over. It's not like a typical cappellacci. It almost looks like a tortellini, but it's round.
Okay.
This one, it's shaped like a witch's hat. So we would make them around Halloween and use squid ink pasta, so it really looks like a witch's hat.
And some pumpkin or some squash.
Yeah, whatever. But it's
very cool.
The cool thing about it is that once you dry it, it looks like something you've seen before, but then you can eat it. I don't know, something straight.
That's so great. Yeah. What's up? The Geometry of Pasta. You ever see that book?
Yeah,
it's a great book.
Absolutely,
really fun book.
Absolutely.
So you went to Voce, mm-hmm. living in the city, hanging out.
Yeah.
Did you have a good time?
Great time.
Great time.
Yeah.
And then you felt the pull.
Well, no. Then then Brian decided to leave Bedford Post and he opened his own place. Mm. So the owners asked me to come back.
And what year was this?
This was 3 years ago.
So
I've been there since. It's been great.
And
we, you know, I came back and it was my first executive chef job. I had no idea what I was
no
doing.
No
pressure. Yeah. Richard Gere owns the place. No pressure. It's fine.
Dr. T, right?
Yeah. But I did what I know how to do. I cooked. I taught him how to make pasta and we did pasta.
You taught Richard Gere to make pasta?
No. I taught him how to eat. No, I didn't teach him how to eat pasta. He knows what he wants. Started working with farmers. I mean, I took advantage of what it was. You know, we have amazing farmers that you can use in the city, but like I drive up to Bedford and I stop at three farms and pick up produce on the way to work. We go foraging. Like there's 120 acres. So we spend a few days a week going out and picking whatever's there.
And you're working with Steve Brill, right?
Yeah, we've done some stuff with Steve Brill. He's great.
The
wild man comes out. He's got really good jokes.
Can you hit me with a joke? We love jokes.
Oh, God. I'm so bad on the spot with jokes. No, it's one of those things with Steve. His humor is about in the moment. So he's talking about something that has seeds, and he can relate that to Catholic religion and not wanting to spill your seeds on the ground.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Or is fortune good? It depends on what your morals are.
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good. You're good at this.
Thank you. I really enjoy a good pun. You feel free to... That's a freebie. You can...
Thank you. I'm going to say that next time. Well, the only person that forages with me for the most part is Jorge, and he doesn't speak English, so...
Save it for Steve. He'll appreciate it.
All right. I will.
Put that in his canon.
I will. Yeah.
Little fodder for the foraging. So you do that. So you forage... I mean, you've got to find all this great stuff up there.
There's tons of stuff, yeah.
Now, how much of it can you source locally, and how much of it do you have to like sort of bite the bullet?
I mean, it depends on the time of the year. Right now, we get
right now it's
amazing. So we get 80% of our vegetables from three different farms that are 5 minutes away. You know, a lot of our meats from Pat LaFreda. He does a great job.
Shout out to Pat.
But the other stuff that we get, we have a couple of farmers. We have somebody who brings us duck eggs every week. We've got a chicken guy. We've got a pork guy. So we use as much as we can. In the wintertime, it's tough. And we use the same stuff everybody else uses from California, yeah, and Arizona and Mexico.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, there's not. I mean, there's stuff, you know, when it comes down to it, I think your job as a chef is to find the best product. It's not about really using the closest, yeah, item. Now, it happens to be that a lot of the stuff that is super fresh is better.
Yeah.
But it's about finding the best products you can find. So, you know, we get bored in the spring. There's not a lot of stuff to do. So we go out and we pick weeds. And people like them.
Just random, like, dandelion weeds?
I mean, some stuff's poisonous, but yeah, we try not to feed that to people.
And so you also have a garden on site.
We do. Yeah, we just put it in Ore, just planted it.
How big?
It's like 20 by 40 feet right now. By next year, it's on a really steep slope. In the back of the property, we're going to build it next year to be terraced.
Okay.
So it'll be, it's going to be incredible. So right now we just have tomatoes and peppers and fall squash that we're just going in.
Fall squash.
Yeah.
What's your ideal meal this time of year? Like, what are you cooking?
Right now it's something on the grill. I mean, everything we do is, We have two restaurants, but in the farmhouse, the dinner restaurant, we have two kitchens. We have our regular kitchen inside that we cook pastas and salads and pastry. But then outside, we have these two large custom grills and a big wood oven.
Nice.
So we smoke stuff all day, and you know, it's
what are you smoking?
A lot of briskets. You know, we slow cook pork shoulders. We're kind of leaning towards a lot of produce, so tomatoes. Mushrooms, kind of drying out stuff. We go out and pick sassafras to dry out and do like smoked gumbo filet. Whatever. Basically, when something comes in, we take it outside, we put it over the fire, we cook it hot, we smoke it and let it dry out and see what works best.
How long are you smoking those vegetables for?
It depends on the vegetable. I mean, cauliflower, we go for a few hours. Tomatoes are like, you know, like 20, 30 minutes is fine, depending on how big the tomato is.
I don't think I've ever had smoked cauliflower.
It's tasty.
I love cauliflower. I mean, I love roasting it. I love that, like, caramelization.
Same idea.
Very sweet.
I mean, we hot smoke it, so it's still concentrating, but it gets a little char on the outside.
Does it stay firm?
What we usually do is cook it whole.
Yeah.
Let it get a good amount of char and smoke on the outside, and then steam it inside.
Okay.
Depending on what we're going to do. If we're just going to serve it as is, then we just roast it in the oven, chop it up and roast it in the oven. Or steam it, and then you can do whatever you want with it. Make a terrine or whatever.
And are you ash roasting any of the vegetables?
A lot. Yeah, absolutely. So you save all the ashes. You know, beets are great. It's got to be firm. It's something hot. You know, in the fall and in the early spring, lots of beets, lots of squash. Anything you can put in there. I mean, bone marrow is great.
Ooh,
roasted in the ashes.
Ash roasted bone marrow.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get up there.
Yeah, please.
So
get on pizza.
Pardon?
You can have great pizza at Roberta's, but you can also come have bone marrow pizza in Bedford.
I don't think I've ever had bone marrow pizza.
It's the same. It's bread and bone marrow. I mean,
yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
And so people can come up, stay all weekend, hang out?
Sure. Yeah, we have 8 rooms. Beautiful place. Place is gorgeous.
How fast do they book up?
Weekends, you know, we're full, yeah, a lot of times. But midweek, beginning of the week, is you'd be surprised there's a lot of availability.
Yeah. And what's it like working for Richard Gere?
He's exactly like you'd think he'd be. Super laid back.
Yeah?
He's great. Yeah, he doesn't, you know, he likes good food. He wants people to be happy. And he wants to come bring his family and relax and eat.
Is he a big wine guy?
No, not a big drinker. I mean, they drink a little bit.
Yeah.
He has his preferences and things that he enjoys, but he's not really a drinker. Very in control of himself.
He's a Buddhist, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
That's good. So what do you have coming up? What's the end of the summer, fall looking for you?
We have some wine dinners we're going to do with Meng. Meng, our beverage director, is going to host some individual wine dinners where we'll set a menu based on what he's serving. It's pretty limited availability, like up to 12 to 16 people.
Awesome.
We'll do some harvest dinners with some of the farmers, set up like a makeshift farmer's market on a Sunday night and just cook whatever the farmer brings us and put that on a menu, do prefix stuff.
Awesome.
And that's it. I mean, we cook the way we cook. It's you know, we use whatever's fresh and put it on a fire, and people usually like it.
Are you going to start raising animals? Like, have, like, a small little farm? Or is that a whole...
I would love to, but...
Is that a whole other thing?
It's a whole other thing. I mean, even, you know what? When you... Like, I talked to John Boy, who brings us our pigs and chickens, and try to get him to sell me suckling pig, and he won't do it. Because I think there's, you know, his description of it is he's there when they're whelping, like when they're being born. And he just can't bring himself to do it. When they're big and they're like 400 pounds and they're mean as hell, he doesn't have a problem taking it to the slaughterhouse. But when they're little babies, it's a little different. So
yeah, they all get...
I don't know. I mean, I've hunted. I come from a family of hunters and those kind of things, but... I don't know. I'd rather let somebody else do it.
I hear you, man.
Yeah.
All right. So if I want to come check it out, what's the nuts and bolts Instagram or?
BedfordPostIn.com.
Okay.
Instagram at BedfordPost.
Twitter, Facebook?
At Twitter at BedfordPost. It's MTA. You can take the MTA from Grand Central to Bedford Hills or Katona. It's 45 minutes on the train.
Awesome.
Another 5 minutes in a cab.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cab's usually waiting, right?
Yes, Cab's always
winning. I know that one. Yeah. Well, hey, I cannot thank you. Thank you enough.
Thank you for having me.
Mary, thanks.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks to all the publicists out there who make our job so much easier.
Yes.
And reach out to us. So we have the guys from Death by Audio and Famous Class coming up to talk about their Live at Death by Audio 2012 playable flexibook. It's featuring a whole bunch of kick-ass tracks. And this is another... one of those kick-ass tracks. It is Tin Man by Future Islands, live at Death by Audio here on Snacky Tunes.
Oh boy, man, it's getting heavy in here. Let's do it. This next song's called Tin Man. Yeah.
That's one of the many, quote, kick-ass tracks that you can hear on the Live at Death by Audio 2012. That's from the official PR release.
Oh, it is from the description of the...
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, then, if they, I guess they're kick-ass, then.
Yeah.
They do kick-ass.
They do kick-ass. I want to welcome some of these dudes back to Snacky Tunes. Why don't you go around the room and introduce yourself?
I'm Cyrus Lubin.
I'm Matt Conboy.
Hey, I'm Eden Wilbur.
Welcome back. How was the pizza?
Great.
It was very good pizza.
Now, you guys were on the show before, but playing live.
Yeah, with the Immaculates.
Yeah.
2 years ago? A year ago?
You were the last super loud live band we were allowed
to
have.
I think we ruined it.
You ruined it. You essentially ruined our ability to have live loud bands.
Yeah.
So congrats.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was a great performance, though.
Thanks.
That
guys,
was fun.
Are you guys still playing?
Not really so much these days. We're all really busy with other shit right now.
Yeah, this Flexi book took up a lot of our time recently. And that sort of... A lot of things happened at the same time.
We can curse, right? I said shit.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. It's the fucking internet.
Okay.
You know, horse testicles. I don't know.
I don't think that's a swear word.
Those are things. Yeah, anyway, so you guys have done something awesome. You guys have put out this really amazing, and I'm a guy who's been collecting records since I was in, like, middle school, and the Flexi book blows my mind.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
It's awesome. Well, I mean, it's a technology that didn't exist anymore. Like, they did it in the 80s and stuff, and they put them in magazines, but then they stopped making them altogether. And luckily, about a year ago, Pirates Press started redoing this technology and doing it better and doing it so it was more sustainable and they sound better. So it's like a great opportunity to kind of get back into that. And it's like, you know, it's cheaper to press a Flexi disc than it is to press like a straight up wax vinyl. You're not pressing two sides. You're not getting all the wax for it. It's just that piece of transparency. You can see it on the Famous Class website. There's a little... Cyrus made a little animated GIF of what it looks like when you flip through the pages, and yeah, they're kind of clearish pages that the records play on. If you're unfamiliar, I would say go look at it. You will get a better sense of what we're saying if you see it physically. I mean, it's a book. It's a spiral bound book with a hole down the middle that you're able to flip the pages over, and you get to see some really great artwork by some great artists.
That's right, buddy.
Who are the artists?
Brian Chippendale from Lightning Bolt and Black Puss did the front and back cover, and then we have Matt Lines, Ron Reggie Jr., John Vermilia, my brother Perry, Dave Singley.
Is that the artist name, or is that your actual brother?
yeah, you're not familiar with my brother?
My brother. My brother Perry.
My brother Perry, yeah, that's how
he's
that's
great.
He goes by.
His early work.
Oh, yeah.
It's also my dog's name, too.
It is. Yeah, I thought when you were thanking Perry that you were always thinking
I've
your
met
dog.
Your dog. Wait, your dog and your brother have the same name?
I named my dog after my brother as like a little brother.
Homage?
Mean revenge.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I would be upset.
It's much more,
if like my sister named her dog after
It's really good because when I go home for family stuff and my mom calls for my brother, the dog comes and...
When
she yells
such...
at my dog, my brother like looks over and it's the best. It keeps getting better.
This you might also be the owner of the biggest shit eating grin we've ever had.
It happened recently because my girlfriend was talking to my mother about like hanging out with my dog, and then at some point it was like, oh yeah, that's also your brother's name, and it was, I don't know, it continues to be the funniest thing.
So how did this whole thing come about? Let's go back to the genesis.
Well, the DBA guys, Matt and Eden, have been recording all these shows for a long time. Since, like...
The oldest recordings go back to 2007, but they're, like...
It's pretty sparse. I mean, we didn't originally have the hard drive space. Like, your computer, you originally couldn't accommodate it, so we were only recording two channels, and we were only doing, like, the best of the best... Or what we thought was the best of the best. But even those shows kind of come out because it's just the room mics.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not, you can't get in there and really change anything. But then at a certain point, Matt got a better interface and we got some more hard drive space. So we just started doing more and more. And we've been doing the eight channel recording, which is six direct channels from the board and then the two room mics. So that's what these recordings, pretty much all of them, are like that. I mean, you can hear our two-track stereo recordings. They're still good, but they sound like live songs as opposed to these, which I feel like sometimes I still, when the clapping starts at the end, I'm just like, what is... Oh, yeah, this is live. It's a live song. Yeah. People clap at the end.
Yeah, so I think... Well, and I think this whole kind of iteration of whatever came about at the Jeff the Brotherhood show in February. Cyrus was in my room because I was listening to make sure that everything sounded okay. And that maybe was the first discussion about, well, you ever thought about doing anything with these?
Yeah, because I've been doing all these LAMC 7-inches with label, Famous Class.
Shout out to Famous Class.
Famous Class. And Mad and
Hold on, wait. Can we just pause 1 second? How well have these 7-inches done?
They've done well.
Modest, but yes, go on.
It's been...
yeah, I mean, what pressings are you on? Like, I know the Place of Buried Strangers one's like...
Place of Buried Strangers is in its third pressing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's huge.
And it's, a lot it's of them are in like their second. Yeah, right? It was a year in April was the year mark.
Are the record nerds out in full force, like first pressing must have?
Yeah, yeah, the like special colored vinyls usually go really quick.
Talk to me about colors. Give me color.
We started pressing with Pirate, who did this book, and they've got some deluxe colors. The Lower Dens one I just did was like a bone vinyl with black and oxblood splatter.
That one's really good. So that one looks beautiful.
Guys, I need the room for a second.
Yeah. It's really like, it's as deluxe as it gets. It's really nice.
Yeah. Well, when you know, so that's great. So, okay.
So I've been doing those things, and I just hang out with these guys a lot and talk about music a lot. And at this Jeff the Brotherhood show, it just sounded so fucking good. They tour a ton. They're just a really good live
Jeff the Brotherhood?
Band. Jeff the Brotherhood.
Why do they even have apartments?
Yeah, I don't know.
They have houses.
I think they have homes. Yeah,
they're from Nashville, right?
They live in Nashville. Yeah. It's a little cheaper to live there.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a house.
Yeah.
Because I can tour and be an artist and be an adult as well.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Well, and down there you can rent, you can buy the house and then rent the other rooms to your friends and they pay the mortgage.
It's incredible. Nice.
So this is your last Snacky Tunes. We're going down to Nashville. We're just going to figure it out from there.
Seems like a pretty nice life. Anyhow, this recording just sounded so good. And it was like, that put the seed in our minds of like, something at some point should be done with these recordings. They've just been kind of hidden on Matt's computer for a really long time. And not a lot of people even know that they get recorded.
Yeah, sure.
But I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg, too.
And then so many months later, someone made like a 7-inch series. And I'm not the first person to have a 7-inch series or to make a split 7-inch series or anything like that.
But your father created the 7-inch, right?
Yeah, my father created the 7-inch. But someone did a project that was very similar to the LAMC series. And even the way that their bio described it had a lot of the same words that are in my bio.
Oh, I'm and sorry. So, is the way... I guess we're not conveying it with your tone, but you're sort of shit-talking this, right?
Yeah, so then I was like, all right, maybe there needs to be something else that Famous Class does except for these... I need to, you know...
Hey, you know what?
And so then this idea, you know, came out of that panic.
Hold on.
I gotta do something.
I just want to pause a second, because this is something that we should talk about. So, because you guys do something, you know, DBA does a lot of great stuff. You do shows, you do pedals, you do a ton of everything. You foster community. You've done a lot of great things with these 7-inches and what they stand for and all these unique collaborations. You built something. However, the second anyone starts stepping on your toes just a little, that panic sets in. And I think there's a very set mindset of, like, guys like you who feel like the second someone starts breathing on your neck a little, you're like, what are we doing next?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, because...
I think that's more of a Cyrus thing. I
definitely feel that way. I'm so much like that.
No, I'll pause right. I suffer from that as well.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
You shit or get off the pot. Yeah. Keep it going.
And, like, quit shitting in my pot. Exactly. Like, go get your own pot. Okay.
Yeah, and there's, you know, there's a lot of people, like, if you look at the Adult Swim list of bands, like, those are all bands that I really like. I mean, there's the thing that... The LAMC 7-inch thing is not... It's not like I have a secret stash of bands that I'm pulling from. It's like, you know, we're all kind of digging from the same pool of...
Digging from the same crate.
Digging from the same crate, yeah.
But yeah, but I mean, that's... But it's in all how you present it. It's that double-edged sword of where you want to support something new, but as you guys know, running a venue, you can't have only new bands playing every night. You need to have, you know, a mix. You got to have some heavy hitters.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So anyway, so you get the idea. So then, talk to me how this goes from being like a couple of bros sitting around with a couple of beers saying, like, we gotta do this. This has gotta happen, to actually being a tangible thing.
I mean, I think it's...
emails.
Part of the reason. I mean, part of the reason why
what
it works so.
What type of mail?
Internet mail.
Is this a new? Is this part of the 7-inch series? Internet mail.
Yeah.
Introducing.
We're exploring all kinds of technology.
So your great grandfather created email.
Created emails, okay. And my father made the 7-inch. It went from being that like half baked idea, panicked idea, to a real thing. It definitely took a long time, but it wasn't.
We had to wait for the year to end.
Getting people to say yes wasn't hard. We had recordings of all these bands. We kind of figured out how we wanted to do it. But because DBA is a space that people care about so much, getting the yes was pretty easy. Like, a lot of it was like a text message or like a... I mean, people are generally...
I mean, when you build and you foster a community, you see return on that investment.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
And you just don't have to go through all that bull of dealing with record labels and things like that.
And also, if you have to,
then you have, like, 8 other bands who could just step up and be like, yeah, no problem.
Yeah. There was no real convincing that had to get done.
These are just bands from 2012 that played?
Yeah, the Flexi book actually is in chronological order through the year. The first thing you hear is the first recording that we pressed, and the last one, that is Jeff the Brotherhood from, I think, January or February. February, and the last one is A Place to Bury Strangers in December of 2012.
So what about the archives?
You mean of, like, previous years?
Yeah, from 2007 to 2011. Obviously, I know some of them aren't as well recorded, but there's some good stuff in there, right?
There's definitely some good stuff in there, yeah. I mean, the recording quality, it was kind of like... Because in 2012, we probably recorded, I'll say, at least 100, if not 200 shows. And if we were going to have to go through each one individually and listen to the entire show, like, average of 3 bands a night... You know, I mean, that would have taken months, even just to listen to all of it. And so one thing that was really helpful was almost like, okay, we're only going to use the recordings that have been, you know, recorded with 8 channels.
Yeah.
That, you know, and then the chronological thing was like, okay, well, we're done with the early part of the year. Yeah. Moving on. You know, so those limitations are kind of maybe how we were able to do it so effortlessly. And then the previous recordings... I don't know what... I mean, I have no idea. Like, I didn't record the shows because I had a thing in mind. I can spend a little bit of money and do this, and maybe someone will want to hear it one day, you know?
Yeah, maybe we can do, like, the Fugazi archives.
Yeah, exactly. Just I don't even really care. It's like I would be fine with a free archive. I just think that... I think that people are kind of don't put enough... energy and effort into that kind of stuff, and I think that it's a wasted opportunity to kind of like do a half-assed free like archive that sounds okay but not great. It's kind of like, well, if you're gonna go to the trouble, you may as well fucking do it. Like, that's kind of my attitude in general.
There was this great site back in 2000, Alien Chair or something like that. I blank on the name, but it was like one of the first sites, and they would post live shows and videos from indie rock band, things like that. It like blew my mind. But that's also when I was still really learning about the internet.
Yeah,
I was like, oh my god, you can see a band play like on the internet. You know, it's like VHS or Beta and stuff like that, and Lounge Lizards and stuff.
Yeah.
So now that you have the book, so you get the idea, you get the yeses, and then what's the process of getting this made?
It was pretty. It was a pretty serious ordeal to get everything like. I mean, if you look through the book,
which I currently am,
which you currently
for
are
the
doing,
listeners at home,
right? Imagine you're looking. Imagine
I can verify this.
It took a long time to get it laid out right and to get it to print properly, especially because I never had a flexi disc made or printed with the printers that we did this with. So there was a lot of troubleshooting, but it turned out. Better than I could have possibly imagined.
Yeah, planning making it took a while, but luckily, p- Pirates Press have done a handful of these already, so yeah. They're kind of getting it down to a science. It still takes a while.
And another nice thing is right before we printed this book with them, they had kind of redesigned the way that they did the flexies. I mean, they started doing them like a year and a half ago, and then 3 months ago, they were like, okay, we've got this down.
I don't even know how you do this. I mean, how do you print these records?
They're like
it's like cut plastic.
It's like a stamp, you know. It's just like a vinyl in that it has like
Well, I feel like if you haven't seen a flexi disc, imagine like a sheet of transparency like from an overhead projector that you had in like school that had like notes written on it or something, because that's all it is. It's a clear sheet of like of transparency, whatever that was, and then they just stamp a record right into it.
It's so crazy. So they had a good process, and so then you get.
So they had really, they had dialed it in, and then we were able to go from there. But I mean, like things like when we made this, a template for this type of thing didn't exist for like how we would set the job up. So there was a fair amount of troubleshooting like that. But
and now if you want to do it again.
I think we made a template with them that now is their template.
Yeah, now you just would send them.
I mean,
art,
now it's a lot easier. At least, and also understanding
what you need.
Yeah, what I need to do, what I need to give them, how they want things. But it was an ordeal.
So, you get everything together, you get it made. How'd you release it?
Well, all these books are arriving on Wednesday, and then we're shipping them out. It's only being sold through the Famous Class website, not in stores anywhere. And it's, you know, we've had pre-orders. And
how they doing?
Those are doing well. And we did a thing where the first 100 people who ordered got a free Brian Chippendale t-shirt.
You got a Chippendale t-shirt?
Chippendales, cool. Yeah.
It's sweet. Got a little bow tie.
Lots a little bow tie.
That's, we should have done that. That would have been amazing.
That's a pun waiting to happen. But you can do that hey, I mean, it's going to come back next year, right?
Next year.
And so you're going to do...
I don't know. It took like months to make.
What if someone else has a flexi book?
I know. Then I have
on that neck, man.
We'll have to come up with something new. We have more new dumb things.
This is a lot of work, obviously.
Yeah, it's good though. I'm psyched.
Are you guys doing a release party?
We were gonna. I mean, so the thing is, we thought this was gonna come out 4 months ago.
Of course.
And so every month we think it's about to come out. Now it's actually about to come out. I have a tracking number for a pallet. Now it's gonna. They're on their way here.
How many are gonna be made?
Made 1,900.
Okay.
And then the bands are all getting copies to sell on tour as their payment. So we end up having
over 1,000.
Over 1,000 to sell on the site.
And how many have been sold already?
A
couple hundred.
Like 300?
Like a third? Yeah.
Yeah, like a third of them. Yeah, I mean, it's going well. We're just, like, now at this point getting the word out.
Totally, and I feel like, once people see the physical version of it, they're going to want their
own. It's a really hard thing.
No. Like, once people see it, even if you're just into records or you just like pop culture.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope it would exist... in someone's collection as an art book just as well as it would
a record. How fragile are those records in there?
They're fine.
They're pretty... Yeah,
like
I mean...
I wouldn't hit them or anything, but, like, they are... If anybody had flexi discs, like, from the old era, you're going to think, man, these are the flexis I had. They're not durable.
Right.
They play, like, 3 or 4 times. But these, like... I don't have our book yet, but I've gotten flexis from this new... batch, and I've listened to them time and time again, and they don't, like, you know, they'll get scratched like any other record.
Right, but they're not gonna, it's not, like, foreign dough.
Yeah, you can't, like, play it 5 times, and then it's over.
Where were the original flexi discs? Like, did they used to come, like, on cereal boxes?
Yeah,
cereal boxes,
McDonald's? There was the one I had was Mr. Bill. They made, like, an SNL Mr. Bill book, but then in the last page was a tear-out. You tear out the page, and it was the Mr. Bill theme song. And you played it while you read the book.
Did you tear it out?
Oh, yeah.
Lost a lot of value, man.
I know. I was a kid.
Dude. did you play with the toys when you were a kid?
Yes, I did.
That's messed
Unfortunately,
up.
Unfortunately, yeah.
That is messed up. Yeah, flexi discs. It's like QR codes when they came back. And everyone's like, what is this new technology? It's like, it's not new. It's better.
Yeah, we just fixed it.
Yeah.
We just fixed it.
But yeah, so we didn't even talk about the bands that were on it either.
No,
I don't know.
That's what I'm going to next. Yeah.
Well, so, you heard Tin Man, right? You guys played Tin Man, right?
We played Ty Segall and we played Future Islands.
Cool, nice. Cool.
But you got a bunch of heavy hitters on there.
Totally.
You do.
Tim Harrington is on there.
What's he doing on there?
He's doing his side thing.
Which is called OBS.
OBFS.
Oh, like yeah. Obviously?
Yeah. That's a really cool song. That's like an exclusive, never been released track.
And that was from our fifth anniversary show, actually. Fifth anniversary of the venue.
Yeah.
That was pretty amazing.
2012.
He's pretty amazing.
That was really fucking good.
It was really cool. And so, and he was like, this is my bedroom project, so I'm going to... He wore pajamas.
Yeah.
And like set up in like the corner of the stage, like kind of with the lights off, and
that's why I love Tim Harrington.
Yeah,
his mind just goes to a place where it's something you never thought of, but you see it, you totally get it. You're like, oh, that's really funny.
Yeah, he was talking to us about trying to fucking have yoga and aerobics on Saturday mornings at Death by Audio.
Yeah, I'm into it. Also, for those of you who don't know, Tim Harrington is the singer of La Savie Fave.
Oh yeah,
who are playing at House of Vans?
They are.
Oh, they are.
DeLorean House of Vans
on the 29th of August, I think.
Yeah. So it's going to be...
I have it on my calendar.
It's on my... Like, you get a lot of emails, obviously, I'm sure you guys do, and I saw that one, and I wrote the guys at House of Bands. I was like, just put me down for a while.
Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah.
You also have Mets.
You have Mets.
Who have gotten a little big, I would say.
Totally.
Yeah.
Huge.
Actually, it's weird. I was on some website, and there was like a fucking, like... I want to say it might have been Vans, or certainly some kind of skateboarding shoe commercial that was... with the music of Mets. I was like, damn, that was quick.
Shoe commercial.
It was awesome.
Boom.
Boom.
Yeah, got that shoe money.
In the box.
Yeah.
Shoe box.
Shoe money.
You want the shoe money.
Who else is on there? OCs?
The OCs.
OCs. Oh, my God.
Great friends of the space.
I was going to say, the OCs are like your kindred brethren.
Totally.
Yeah.
They're huge now. I mean, they've been huge for a while.
Sure. I mean, but John Dwyer is like one of the reasons I'm sitting here with you today. You know,
how,
I mean,
how
like,
so?
Just because like he was the guy that like revived music for me. Like the Coach Whips was like my most important band. Like seeing that band live like was like, I like live music again. I like music again.
I always forget he's in the Coach Whips.
Yeah.
And Coach Whips?
Oh, I don't.
Are... I only saw him play once.
Never forget.
Yeah, oh, man.
At Beerland in Austin.
Oh, man.
This was 8.5 years ago.
Yeah, at least.
And then, because they did that whole lightning bolt type of thing where they just started playing, like the second.
Yeah, in the back of the room. Yeah, yeah.
And they melted my face.
Blew me away, yeah.
And their albums melt my ears because they're recorded so loudly.
Yeah. And actually, Weasel Walter, who now lives in New York and is like a friend, mastered all those records. And he even told me that he has like a louder, noisier version of Bangers vs. Fuckers that Dwyer turned down because he thought it was too
I mean, if you look at heavy. Like... The sound waves of that, it's like pushing.
Oh yeah, all the way.
It's just all the way. It's like it's sort of funny. Like it's like a joke.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
But it's a good sounding joke.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so crazy that it's always funny when you think about which bands come from other bands, which you guys must see all the time because it must be like guys and girls who come back who are just in like new and different formations.
Oh sure. Yeah, I get emails all the time that's like I'm this person. I was the drummer in this band. I'm like, oh yeah, I love that band. Come on over with your new band. Like let's try it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then anyone else, what's your favorite individual tracks? Can you call them out, or they're like your children?
They're a lot like my children.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, like,
I think it's Tin Man for me. Like, it just...
that one's great.
It just carries all of that weight. I mean, all the songs are good, but, like, that one just, like, it's already a really emotional song, and I feel like it just really comes across, like, the feeling of the live, like, Sam, what Sam's giving mm-hmm. to the audience and stuff. Sam the singer, of course. Yeah.
That was recorded at the... LAMC number 2 release party.
Yeah, with Ed Schrader.
Cyclical.
With Ed Schrader.
Really hot.
All cyclical.
It's all...
Yeah, it is always hot there. Do you guys ever get an AC in there?
We do. We have central AC.
Yeah. That was, I think our AC either wasn't working or something weird happened that night.
There was a big moment recently. Not even recently. Now it's like a year ago.
Yeah.
But there was a big moment...
A year ago.
Where it turned out...
The
AC was installed backwards, so it was pumping cold air outside of Death by Audio.
That's true. And some of it would cut, like, it was like we were getting 10% of the air-conditioned air.
Did you flip
air.
It around?
It's worked so fucking well now.
Yeah, we got a guy.
It's so cold in there. It's great.
Oh, my God. I just went to Shea Stadium for the first time this summer, and I was impressed by how cold it was in there.
Do they have air
Yeah, they got a little window unit in there, yeah. finally, which oh, actually is a...
That is, window unit to power that...
Yeah, well, you know, no, it's good in. Because it's cold in there, but then outside, if you go on the balcony, you just get blasted by all that hot air coming out of the back of it, so it keeps people off the balcony, which yeah. is...
Oh, that's nice. Great.
Yeah, it's another thing they're trying to do, so it yeah. kind of killed two birds there.
They, yeah. So, welcome home, Fletcher C. Johnson.
Yeah.
He just got back. He played yeah. the last show. He's sounding so good.
Yeah.
Super tight.
Totally. Yeah, he played a DBA on the way out. He went on the way out and lived in California for a couple months and then came back. He's just coming back from living out there.
Yeah, welcome home.
Yeah, welcome home, Fletcher. Good to have you back, buddy.
More like L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to see him in Memphis on the way. Or no, Nashville on his way. He was he was doing good.
Did you see the cover album for Free Ride?
No, I didn't.
Oh, man. Payson like in a wedding dress with like pregnant it's great.
Sounds pretty good.
Look for it.
So where can people get this?
You can get it at famousclass.com and that's the only place you can get it.
Ooh.
Or maybe if you're lucky and you catch one of the bands on tour
in the early
and
they part
have,
of the
yeah.
tour
yeah,
they
if have you get
one,
it like
one left
yeah, yeah their first, second or third show that they play after they receive the
yeah.
yeah.
Can I ask how much they're selling for?
They're $32.
Nice.
And it comes with a download for the whole Flexi book as well as the entire Ty Siegel set and OC set.
Oh, awesome.
Which is awesome. So it's a shitload of music to download that you can put on your iPod.
And those
iPod
are great sets.
Whatever.
Ty did a ton of covers.
Ty did
that
a
show.
Lot of covers.
They're really good.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to, like, what are some of them? There's like, did he do Paranoid?
He did.
Yeah, and he
Black
did
Sabbath.
Fuck, I don't know.
He did a bunch. He did a lot
he did
of like
that AC/DC.
Yeah, I'm letting you guys do
Thunder.
Oh, TNT.
TNT.
Yeah.
He did
like
that.
If you're a big Ty Segall fan, you'll want to hear these awesome.
There's some
heavy
Hawkwind
covers.
In there.
Hawkwind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Good
yeah. times.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a blast.
And when people want to learn more about DBA, where do they go?
You can go to entertainmentforeveryone.net. Like the numbers 4 and 1 for. It's not very good for radio. I know. Okay.
I just love it at the hand gesture.
Yeah, I do. Well, it's for me. Yes, I made the hand gestures for the number 4 and the number 1. It's entertainment, the number 4, every, the number 1, .net, because .com was taken already.
Oh, my God. So popular.
And that has the show listings. I try to update it every, like, the 15th of every month.
Does that
month
have a link
month
to buy
after.
A Flexibook?
It doesn't, but it will.
It probably
you
should,
can,
yeah.
Or you could just Google Death by Audio and get most of the stuff.
Yeah.
Twitter.
That, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At Death by Audio is the Twitter.
At Famous Class.
Is the Famous
it's my,
Class Twitter.
Is my everything.
All right. And if I hear anyone else making Flexibooks like this, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
So we're not the first ones to do
this.
Yeah,
we're not. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think we're maybe the first people to do this with like, live. And certainly as, like, a venue.
Yes.
I'm okay. sure we're the first.
Well, if I hear of another venue doing live recordings, the Flexibook.
Yeah.
I'll let you know.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's right.
The takedown squad will show up.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, boys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Final question.
Yeah.
How have your summers been?
They've been really good.
It's good. Yeah, hot.
Mine has been really nice. Yeah. I've been able to get out of town a couple times, which is good.
I could be going to the beach more, but couldn't I always?
We all could. Yeah. Even in the
winter. Less beach for me. Eden
not
can take all of
guy.
My beach time.
I'll take
love
your beach
the beach,
time.
But Matt.
No?
Not
no.
a beach. Not a beach
I'm a rivers and lakes guy.
He's a long pants
and
at the beach
and
guy.
The forest.
You know what? I think I'm with you on that. I think I'm like a river lake nature dude. Beaches, come on.
Right? Because yeah. you're basically in Times Square, except now there's sand on everything.
And on that note,
I can't relate to that.
We're
going to
end Snackitudes. I want to thank everybody who's been get this thing. We'll be back next week. Thanks so much.
Thank Woo! You.
Someday. When I'm awfully low and the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of you and the way you look tonight. Oh, but you're lovely with your smile so warm and your cheeks so soft. There is nothing for me but to love you. And the way you look tonight. With each word, your tenderness scrolls, tearing my fear apart, and the laugh that wrinkles your nose touches my foolish heart. Never have a chance. Keep that breathless charm. Won't you please arrange it? 'Cause I love you and the way you look tonight. And the way you look tonight.
This show is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.